You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
I'm Tom Cliff, Cobblers fan and proud owner of Track NN and Cafe Track. Track NN is a social enterprise set up in 2018 to support autistic people to access employment through training, support services and creating opportunities. Research showed that just 16% of autistic adults were in full-time employment, and this is something which we are going to change. We opened our cafe on the Market Square in Northampton in January 2019 as a place where individuals could work and develop their employability skills and also be a place where people were free to be themselves. Since opening the cafe in January 2019, we have supported 36 people into paid employment and created over 75 work experience placements and visits for individuals. Since the coronavirus outbreak, we've not been able to open Cafe Track to its full capacity, and we've instead taken our offering online. You can help support us by buying coffee virtually at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Your money goes to helping us to continue to create opportunities for autistic adults to gain employment.
Brain again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3! Yeah!
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. Well, what a week that was, and we're going to discuss all of it. But before we do, let me introduce you to all of us. I'm Charles, and with me are Danny Brothers. Say hello, Danny.
Hello.
Jesse Jeffy Coleman.
Hello.
And Neil Edgerton Scott, if we can tear him away from the NFL.
Hiya.
Hey, there he is. What game are you watching while we're recording tonight, Neil?
The Green Bay Packers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Who's going to win?
50-50, although it's only just started, but Bucks, the Tampa Bay Bucks, as I affectionately call them, as everyone else does, have just scored a touchdown on their first drive, so it's a good start.
Oh, did someone shout, drive, as that was happening?
The Tampa Bay, have you ever heard of Tom Brady?
I have heard of Tom Brady. Isn't he the most successful quarterback in history?
Some do call him that. He's 43 years old. And he's playing for the Bucks.
Oh.
Get him in.
Get John Taylor back in for the Cobblers.
He's definitely not 43.
He was 43 when we signed him, wasn't he?
I think you're probably right there, actually. Who was it that signed him? Was it Colin Calderwood?
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Oh. Yeah.
Jobs for the boys, didn't, that one, wasn't it, really?
Didn't he go to the toilet on the pitch?
Yeah, Mansfield, wasn't it? Was it that one?
It might have been. I can't remember who it was. Yeah, he did, though, didn't he? I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
56 he is now.
Is he 56? Well, give him a go anyway.
Yeah, get him in there.
He's probably more mobile and more effective than Harry Smith was.
He's probably the best old man we've ever signed. He was superb in those, what? He's played like 10 games or something.
The best old man we've ever signed.
I now want to go through a list of old men that have played for the Cobblers.
We've had a few, haven't we?
Must have done. I mean, we've had a few on the books this season, haven't we? Let's be fair.
Ian Taylor, would he class as an old man?
Yeah, Ian Taylor.
It feels rude to call him an old man, though.
Yeah, but he was so good. Like, he only lasted, what was it? He only had one season, didn't he? And he retired on the final day, wasn't it? And it was just magical. He was just such a magician. And he was so calm. And players like him and Sean Dyche, who we got at like the twilight of their careers, were so pivotal that year we went up.
I agree. But the most interesting thing, sorry, I got distracted, Jeffy. I'm really sorry. Who's eating?
Oh, sorry.
What have you got? I want to know what you're eating, Neil. You're watching the NFL, you're eating and recording a podcast.
Multitasking. I've got apple pie and ice cream.
Oh, ooh. Don't tell me that.
Oh.
No, I want them.
That is lovely. Have you had a roast dinner beforehand? Is this pudding?
It is, yeah.
Oh, love a bit of pudding.
I will eat quietly, I promise.
Okay. It's more the it's not the eating that I can hear, Neil. It's more the tapping of cutlery. Yeah. Well, look, last week we said farewell to two players, with Harry Smith going out on loan to Motherwell in the SPL and club captain Nicky Adams signing an 18-month contract at Oldham. It's always sad to see a player like Nicky Adams leave the club, of course, but it was the right decision, especially for all parties, I think, wasn't it, Danny?
It was, but I think we should first say thank you, Nicky. What an absolute... And I don't swear, I don't F and Jeff often, Charles, as you know, but what a fucking legend Nicky Adams is. I bring it out now and again for special occasions. What a legend, what a hero. Two spells, two promotions. Is all-round good guy, you know, leader in the locked dressing room, great guy
captain,
outside,
leader,
captain, leader.
Legend.
Yeah, heart on the pitch. He just leaves everything out there. And it's sad to see him go, but I think it's the right time. Like I say, it wasn't really working for him in League One in this standard to play week in, week out. If he's going to play week in, week out in League Two, then fair play to him. It works for him in terms of location, family, all that kind of thing. So I think it just seemed to be a right decision for everyone. But it's still a little bit sad, I think, to see a player like that go, because it's just such a presence around the club that we're going to struggle to find that kind of leadership, I think. But hopefully I'm wrong.
I think the one thing that I kind of, and I think I did tweet this out at the time, you know, sort of a thank you, to Nicky for everything that he's done in a Cobblers shirt, but also just for being, you know, a really good lad, basically. When he re-signed, what are we going back 18 months now, like straight away he was happy to come on the pod, wasn't he, guys? And then we got to meet him and speak to him. Mm-hmm. At the open day, I think it was, when we played Sheffield United.
Oh yeah.
And he was just a really good lad, wasn't he? And happy to talk. And he did the Patreon Q&A for us. He's always been happy to chat whenever we've kind of asked him to. It's a sad thing. Like I'm not usually that kind of bothered when a player leaves. I kind of go, yeah, okay, fine. I either kind of go, good riddance.
Yeah, you say dead to me, Charles. That's what you say.
Yeah. or I just kind of go, yeah, wish him well. Like Charlie Good, for instance, you know, moves on and stuff like that. But with this one, I am genuinely quite gutted, because I just, you know, he really is like the epitome, if you like, of this, you know, last 2 years essentially, and has been such a, you know, a big personality in the dressing room, I would imagine. And, you know, not just this time around, but last time around as well. And yeah, I think I'm going to miss him. Normally I unfollow players like on Twitter or any other social media, but with Nicky, I'm going to keep him there on the Instagram. I mean, to be honest with you, if anybody else is a follower of Nicky on Instagram, he puts out some brilliant stuff with his kids. I've seen one of his kids sitting down to watch the Liverpool Man United game today. Probably the youngest child, I think, still a baba. Can of Carlsberg in hand, brilliant. But you know, it's going to be sort of one of those things that we're truly going to miss him, I think. And like you said, it's probably the right time for him to go. Would you agree, Chessie?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of echo everything that you guys have said, but I think what's really important to kind of consider as well is that I think had we have not been in the global situation that we're in at the moment, I think he'd have probably stayed until the summer. But if you take football completely away from the equation, he is a father of four children in the middle of a pandemic, and his poor wife has got four kids at home homeschooling, I guess. I don't know, but that's just my guess. And, you know, that's really tricky for a parent. So the fact that he's closer to his family, I think, will make a massive difference to him. And ultimately, I think from the statement that he put out, which I have to say was really classy and brilliant, I think it is generally really a family decision as well, which I think is the right thing. And I think regardless of you know, whether how many games he's played or how well he's performed, he's always been a key player in the dressing room and on the pitch as well, regardless of whether he's performed well or not, because he's a good character, and he's someone that gives a lot of motivation and encouragement to those younger players. I just think it's the right thing for him to do based on the fact that he's got a really young family and needs to be up north where he really belongs. So I think getting him was a real scoop, and getting him for 18 months is better than not having him at all. So yeah, I think it's great. And I think that Keith Curl deserves a little bit of credit as well for letting him go and treating him well and keeping that really good relationship that they've got, because he could have made him stay, and then he'd been really unhappy because he's away from his family. So I think it's a really good end to a really wonderful second spell at the club.
Did any of you see Joel Byram's message on Twitter to Nicky?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. About him savage. Being where he belongs in League Two or something.
Yeah,
you know,
didn't take him long is what he said.
He knows during a pandemic he's not going to get near him anytime soon. So.
No, yeah, that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
Something else to add though, Charles, before we move on. Mm. Obviously, Nicky was the club captain, mate.
Yeah.
And so there's an opening.
Don't you, captain. Danny, don't you go there.
An opening for a club captain for someone who's loyal, who's been here for a few years, who's obviously going to play every game.
Sean McWilliams.
Samuel Pius-Hoskins, step forward, young man. Your time is now. Give him the armband, Charles.
Can you imagine what that would cause to the fan base?
Oh, goodness.
It'd be meltdowns.
Oh, dear.
Also, I'm not having any of this bollocks about him being forced out either, Adams.
No,
ridiculous, isn't it?
Like the clearest statement that could be like explaining the reasons why makes sense for all parties. Look, he wasn't quite the same as he has been this season. I know he's struggled a bit with injury and he's been in and out of the team and stuff, but the legs seem to have caught up with him slightly for League One. That doesn't mean he won't be a huge impact in League Two for Oldham. I'm sure he will be. And I think he had a good game on Saturday for them, didn't he?
I think he had a storming game on Saturday for him, actually.
He will be. He's great in League Two, but that jump up, he just seems to struggle a little bit with now. So it makes sense. And he's closer to his family. I understand people questioning stuff like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've put it quite well there, Neil, about his legs catching up with him slightly. Everybody else would have just called him old, even though he's a good 2 years younger than I am. you like that guy. Well, you know what, Daddy? mine and your League One football careers are definitely over. We could maybe still do League Two for a couple of seasons, though. That's what I'm hanging on to.
Are you going to signpost? What club would fit your style, do you think?
Stevenage.
Salford.
Stevenage. You're probably right there, actually. Well, look, before we move on from Nicky, I want to see, is there one particular moment that stands out? A Nicky Adams moment during his time at the Cobblers for you? Chezzy, anything for you?
Oh, yeah. There's. Do you know what? What? Hang on, you mean this spell or both spells?
Both spells. He's been at the club for as long as he's been at.
I think if you take 2016 as a whole, I don't think you can pick out a particular moment. I think it was all incredible. But this spell... I think it was the Mansfield game, that ridiculous game. And I'm sure Danny and Neil will correct me if I'm wrong, but Alan McCormack got subbed and Nicky Adams was on about to take a corner and Alan was absolutely screaming at Nicky Adams and Nicky Adams just looked at him as if to say, what are you doing? Absolutely furious with him. It was really quite a comical thing. Very, very underrated, but absolute brilliance. But no, everything about Nicky Adams is brilliant. You can't really pick out particular moments because he is just so good. He's just a really lovely bloke, isn't he? And so funny. People don't realize how funny he is. He's such a funny man. Like, we could sit for hours and talk about all the ridiculous things he's done, but yeah, I just love him. I think he's brilliant.
I think I will always remember the goal that he scored against Burton in the FA Cup. That was a good goal. I enjoyed that from him.
What about when he got on Rico's back?
Yeah, definitely. Another moment that was one to...
Did he stick his finger up his arse or something?
Yes, yeah.
Just checking his temperature, wasn't he?
He was doing a pre-COVID temperature check.
Hey, we should get him back on the pod, shouldn't we, for a farewell pod?
I think so. Yeah, we'll try. I'll give him a message. We'll let him do a Verdane and settle in at Oldham.
Doesn't want to be distracted from training.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's let him settle in, and then I'll give him a message and see whether he can come on just to have one last final hurrah with us all. But before, of course,
sorry.
No, go on, Jesse.
Before
do you want?
We go on, interestingly, Oldham fans were divided in opinion. I looked on their feeds and they were really divided. They were like, oh, he won't last a season, he's 34. You got no idea what's in store for you lot, Oldham fans. He is a brilliant player. He might not have the quickest legs because, you know, he's fairly old in terms of football ages, but my goodness me, you've got a great player there. And I think you just need a bit of patience to actually see what he can do. And I really hope if Oldham fans were watching on Saturday, they kind of ate a bit of humble pie because he's brilliant and I think he's going to make a massive difference to that team. And I think sometimes you have to give these people a chance and not write them off before they get going. Some of them were like, he's never going to last a season. Are you joking? The bloke's a genius.
Well, to be fair, sounds like a lot of our fans that do that to other players as well. So it's just typical football fan. Yeah, fickleness. Yeah, that's right. Well, he wasn't the only player to leave. Harry Smith still has 18 months left on his contract. But with this loan move, do you think that's it for Harry then, Neil?
Yeah, I do. I think that's it. I think he's done. Keith Curl didn't exactly give a resounding sort of interview suggesting that he's more than welcome back. So I think he's done, and I think it's the right decision. The only thing that might change that, I guess, is if we do get relegated, then we might want him for League Two.
I think with Harry Smith, it's very one-dimensional, isn't it? And his impact in the team makes it very one-dimensional. So I think that once he's out of the team, I personally think we'll see an improvement in what we do up front, and therefore that might change Keith Curl's mind. I don't think necessarily at the moment. It might be a definite no, but I think if you look at how the team performs when he's not in the team, when you haven't got him, you've got someone else and you can compare like for like as such, although it's not like for like, really, that will probably come into play.
You can't be a successful football team with a lift tower up front.
Well, look, we can't go anywhere without mentioning, Danny, the fact that Harry Smith's first game for Motherwell was against Ash Taylor's Aberdeen.
It was.
How did he do? Did either of them play?
Can't say I watched it. Just
no? I thought you'd be really interested. Didn't Keith say that we'd be keeping an eye on him?
Well, he did, but he didn't send me, so.
Oh. Batman Danny failed again.
Ash started. Harry came off the bench, I think. So they did collide at some point, but I think Aberdeen won the game. That's as much as I know.
Ash Taylor Thunderbolt?
No.
No, okay. Fair enough. Okay, well, brilliant. Right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back in a moment.
I'm Tom Cliff, creator of the world-famous online stand-up bingo, which started out its life at Northampton Town Football Club. Join me every Saturday at 2:15 p.m. on the Cafe Track Facebook page for your chance to be crowned stand-up bingo champion of the world. Every ticket purchase goes towards keeping Cafe Track and TrackNN a social enterprise dedicated to helping people to access work experience and hopefully employment. Buy your ticket now at buymeacoffee.com/Cafe Track. Make sure you leave your chosen 15 numbers between 1 and 90 in the comment section and then play along live on the Saturday afternoons before the Cobblers game. So go to buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack now and get your ticket for the world famous stand-up bingo.
So guys, we've had a letter into Neil's post bag to kick us off talking about the Lincoln match on Saturday. It's from our Patreon and Slack channel member, Malcolm Butler. Hi, Malcolm. He says, "Dear Neil's post bag. So yesterday, it felt like ages since we'd last played, and with a number of new faces making their debut, I felt optimistic we might get something from the game. So far this season, I have found the iFollow coverage pretty good, until yesterday. For some reason, the time lag was massive. I could have got quicker updates using a carrier pigeon. No amount of resetting or switching on and off had any effect. I couldn't get any commentary either. Every time I selected the home coverage, I got about 5 seconds of commentary before it cut out. Resigned to nothing but the pitch side noise, I settled down for the afternoon. Having been at Six Hills with a home fixture against Lincoln, I knew we were in for a tough game. What a difference, though. From the off, I felt we took the game to Lincoln and prevented them from getting a hold on proceedings. The new signings acquitted themselves well, and it looks like Keith Curl has clearly done his homework. Of course, it was always going to be tough to keep up the intensity for 90 minutes, and so it proved to be. Both of Lincoln's goals came from momentary lapses in concentration, and the reason that they're at the top of the table is, in a large part, due to their patience and being clinical when chances come along. Bolger is improving with every game and was up there with Mwaza for my man of the match. Anyway, back to iFollow. The most noticeable thing for me yesterday was the communication on the pitch. The players knew, for the most part, what they needed to do and were constantly talking, shouting and encouraging each other. Even after the goals went in, they kept going and got a deserved consolation at the death. Had my iFollow behaved itself, I might not have noticed the chatter. The home game against Lincoln was dreadful and the silence on the pitch from the Cobblers players was deafening. Yes, we lost again yesterday, but I saw enough to persuade me that we'll survive. Just keep up the good work and roll on Tuesday night.
That is a perfect letter that perfectly sums up yesterday. That is absolutely fantastic. Well done, Malcolm. You can have 10 Jeff A. Stelling points for that.
That was totally Jeffy's teaching voice, that was.
Absolutely.
That is a perfect letter.
Who have we got on Tuesday?
Fleetwood.
Fleetwood Town and their interesting goal music.
I'd forgotten
about the goal music. That's going to be annoying, isn't it? Never mind. Oh, well. I'm not sure whether we actually have to talk anything about the game.
No, I think that was absolutely perfect. Perfect. The perfect way to sum it up. And I said to you, didn't I, before we come on air, Charles, I wasn't disappointed on Saturday. I was gutted. And that's such a difference. You can't criticise a set of players for coming out and really giving it a real go and just not being quite there. You can't do that. It's just not fair. You have to look at it pragmatically and look at it. You know, we were just unlucky. that's all it was. You know, we just switched off for two things and changed the game completely. And do you know what? Yes, okay, we didn't come out with the same intensity the second half. We really didn't. But I don't necessarily think that was our intensity dropping. I think Lincoln went up a gear. And I think we really tried. We really tried. And you can't criticize for them trying. You really can't. I think it was really encouraging. And the thing is, you don't go down to losing teams like Lincoln. What we need to do is win to those teams in and around us and just, you know, take these with a pinch of salt. But if we can play like that, we might well have a chance. It's just so unfortunate we've dropped into the relegation zone on such a positive performance.
What do you think changed, Neil, from, you know, what is it, 2 weeks ago when we lost to that lot in the Pizza Cup and every other game? And, well, if you go back to the last time we played Lincoln, in December, what happened? Well, Where does that performance come from?
We played a different formation, didn't we? We played 4-3-3. We played more, less direct. Don't get me wrong, we still went direct at times, but we played a lot less direct and actually played some good stuff at times. Despite the fact the Lincoln pitch was equally as bad as ours, I thought it looked ridiculously bobbly and stuff. So it just shows that we can play football. So no matter what the pitch is like, because their pitch was as bad as ours, as the pitch has shown. And I think the break has probably done us good. It's probably a little bit of a reset time to get all our ducks in a row, if that makes sense. And
quack,
yeah. And just sort of go again, I guess, sort of new season almost. That not sort of, right, that's the first half of the season. This is the second half. Let's start again. Let's go for it. I thought the new guys had a good impact as well, certainly, especially Miller and Uncle Bryn. It was a real shame that Miller got injured because I thought he was looking dangerous on the left. Uncle Bryn, I thought, was fantastic. I thought
the interception king.
Oh, he just did everything. He there was a couple of times where he played a really, really nice pass as well, which is something we've been missing. And that's actually something we miss from the likes of Watson, because Watson, he gets around the pitch a lot and is a nuisance, but doesn't quite have that guile and that little sort of the nous to play a little pass here or there, I don't think. So Uncle Bryn seems, on the face of it, on that performance, a definite upgrade. Edmondson, I didn't think did a huge amount. I'd like to see a bit more from him, I think, but first performance, early days, certainly didn't lose anything from having him there instead of Smith. So I thought, you know, look, the key thing I think now is it was a good performance. It did tail off in the second half. There's still a question mark over the defending for certainly the second goal. So there's still a bit to work on, but I think the real key for me now is that Keith Curl, he set his stall out and shown that we can play like that. It was quite exciting to watch. It was quite good. It was a decent-ish performance. We were a bit unlucky, certainly with a few of the decisions. We probably deserved a draw. He needs to keep playing like that, and that needs to be who we are now.
Yeah, is that maybe something that's a little bit worrying for you, Danny? You know, will we just revert back to type?
You'd like to think not, because we've shown so much more on Saturday. A word we've probably used before, Neil, that we haven't had all season is that's intent. That we just went out with so much intent. We've attacked a team away from home who are joint top of the league with so much intent and so much purpose to actually go and win a game. And you'd like to think if we're playing like that against a team like Lincoln, then we're going to play against it for the, you know, for the rest of the season, hopefully. Because it worked. Even though we lost, it definitely worked. There was something completely different about that side, especially in the first half. You've got the 4-3-3 can be so much more adjustable to what wing-backs can be. You know, if you're playing wing-backs, you're kind of set to a certain way of playing. But with the four at the back and the three in the middle, you can make a five with Mills and Harriman, or make a five with Hoskins and Miller, or whoever's playing there now that Miller's probably ended his Cobblers career. But you can kind of make that five, and it just made us so much more competitive, and we actually felt like we had midfielders for change. It gets the best out of McWilliams, it gets the best out of Bryn. And then you've got a little bit of pace either side as well. So I just really, really hope that we just keep on with this. If we go back to wing backs on Tuesday, it's just going to be like disastrous, because it'll just be back to square one, won't it? So fingers crossed.
Yeah,
Because Fleetwood are actually there for the taking as well, because they're not in a great place at the minute either.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And I think that realistically, when you look at what we've got left, I mean, it was interesting. Neil, you said like we're treating this like it's the start of the season again, and this is the second half. We're not actually at the halfway mark in terms of games played yet, which is incredible considering we're at the back end of January now. There's going to be so many games. The one thing that I worry about, Chezzy, is that intensity that we played in that first half, I think we ran out of puff. I know you said that you think Lincoln went up a gear, but I do think that there was a little bit, an element of us tiring
in the second half. Absolutely, but I do think that you got to look at that just in terms of league position, really. You're not going to be playing second best team in the league, are you, every week? So I think this idea that to avoid relegation, I know Neil touched on it at the beginning of the season, doesn't particularly like this, but I do think there is an element of realisticism, if that's a word, or a realistic...
Realism.
Realism to
Who's
it.
Who's the bloody teacher here?
But you have to look at it and think, well, if we can play at that intensity again with teams around us and win and beat them, then you're, you know, gaining points that they're not getting. And then the teams at the very top, if you try and play to that intensity and then you tire and then you lose 2-1, then so be it. I don't think there's anything wrong with losing 2-1 to Lincoln at all, and especially at the intensity that game was played. What we need to get right now, and I think this is what Neil touched on, it needs to, you know, you set your stall out. You need to beat Wimbledon. You need to beat Burton. You need to beat Wigan. You need to beat all those teams around. I know we've played some of those teams twice, but people like Bristol Rovers that are hanging in there as well. We need to be beating all of these teams around us and then build on what you've got. Because as soon as you start getting those results and get two results in a row, three results in a row, at some point momentum comes. It's just so unfortunate, I think, for us psychologically, that we've dropped in on such a positive performance, and undeservedly so as well. I think that we need to just look at it with cobbler's coloured glasses as such. I know some people touched on that on Saturday, and just look at it as if it's a great result in terms of performance, and look at the actual scoreline as a separate entity on this occasion, because I think it would be so harsh to judge those players or anything other than that. We've just got to keep going.
I did see a couple of people on social media seemingly suggesting that actually we hadn't changed. There was no change to the style that we were playing at all. Is that something that you guys have maybe could say yourselves? Or do you think it was a completely different cobblers that were out there?
It was like we had a new manager, you know. It's like the start of the season. I think it's the first time this season we've actually been on the edge of my seat and really up for the game, because usually you just sit there, you're like, oh, here we go again, kind of thing. Where the way they played made me get off my seat, and I was chanting in the Slack channel, Charles. And just like getting really into it and getting really like, we can actually get something from this game, and getting like really excited about the way they're playing. It was the way that they set themselves out, and the way they actually, like I said earlier, there was a purpose to it. And it was completely, I don't see how anyone could have looked at it and thought that we still playing exactly the same. There was like hardly any long balls up. It was more down to trying to play through them and trying to break them down and then go for it. I don't see anything from there that was the same as normal. In terms of the style, it just really got me a lot more excited than normally. It's tweaks more than anything as well. It wasn't like a whole massive changes, more like tweaks to what we're doing in the formation, just really, really helped.
I love the way that Keith Curl, basically, when he was asked that question, essentially, you know, what's caused this change of thing, he was very, his usual diplomatic self, wasn't he, where he just basically turned around and said, well, you got to play to the, you know, the strengths and the weaknesses of the opposition. Every game is different. It basically suggesting that we may well go back to being a long ball merchant, hit and hope side against some teams. It was almost like he didn't want to turn around and say, yes, this is it. This is the next evolution of my cobbler's side, and this is the way that we're going to play from now on. And I mean, to be fair to him, I wouldn't necessarily think it would be a good idea for him to come out and say that either, because you're more or less just telling future opposition, this is how we're always going to play from now on. That doesn't necessarily bode well for you either.
It's not realistic either, is it? It really isn't. No. You know, you can't play at that intensity this season in particular every week or every 3 days, which it's going to be. We need to look at it with an approach that we take the game to teams that we need to and just get through other matches at 1-0 if we can and steal a result.
I think for me, the one disappointing thing from that Lincoln game was that we were the better side in at least the first half an hour. I thought that, you know, Lincoln were, apart from having a very, very quick counter-attack, they weren't anything that was going to really worry us at that time in that first 30 minutes or so. And the one thing that I would maybe level at us is that you've got to score when you're on top. And I don't think we really did enough to really worry Lincoln. Yes, we looked good, we looked better, but then is that down to the fact that we've looked at times so poor this season that even a slight change and a slight improvement makes us think that we look like Brazil?
I think there's it needs to evolve, doesn't it? We've been used to playing what you could call as anti-football tactics, I guess. And sort of living off scraps. And so I think this new approach and different style needs a few games to bed in and stuff. That's what I mean when I said earlier, like Keith Curl has to stick with it, to give the players a chance to get used to it. And especially with a couple of new guys in there as well, get used to each other more in a game environment and stuff. And then I think you'll start to see us looking a bit more dangerous. I think if we revert back to type on Tuesday, it's going to be really, really frustrating.
Yeah, that I will agree with completely. If we do end up playing again, just like we did for the first half of the season, then it's going to be really annoying, I think. And it's going to put a lot of people's noses out of joint as well, I think, on social media and within not just the fans that are vocal on social media, but the fan base as a whole. I think it's going to be really annoying. The one thing that I'd like to maybe see now or look for it. First of all, we obviously need to hope and pray that Miller's injury isn't as bad as we all think it probably is going to be. It definitely looked like he'd pulled his hamstring, didn't it? And also Sowerby, who I thought had a really good game, he also seems to have done himself a bit of damage as well. I thought it was maybe a clash of knees that caused it, but other people have suggested that also might have been more of a hamstring injury and that he pulled up rather than actually it being a clash of legs. I mean, those two players, when those changes were made, Miller more so, obviously, than Sowerby, but that really turned the tide of the game into Lincoln's favour, didn't it, Chessie?
Yeah, I think so, but I think as well that we were starting to run out of steam. And if you look back at previous games, we always seem to start wobbling a little bit about 5 minutes before half time. The injuries really didn't help. And I've got a feeling that Miller's going to be out. I mean, like Danny said, he's probably ended his cobbler's career 40 minutes after he started it, which is a real shame because he did look bright. But Sowerby was a real nuisance, wasn't he? He was really at their keeper and closing stuff down. So I think psychologically, I think it troubled us a little bit because I think we were in a good gear and it's almost like we dropped back because we were just starting to get used to someone else coming on. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, we did okay. We coped okay. But I think psychologically something happens to us on about 37 minutes every week. And that's something I think they've got to work on. I think I don't know whether it's tiredness. I hope not because they're footballers, or just psychological tiredness of like, oh, we're nearly at half time. If we get to half time, we can reassess, we can look at it. And then obviously Keith gets them in the dressing room and tends to change it all. And we don't have a great second half, but I don't think that was the case. I think it's just a case of the momentum that we lose a little bit.
Ricky Corbeau just didn't offer the same type of threat, did he, Danny, as Mikel Miller had done?
No, he didn't. I think he needs a loan spell as well out at the moment. He shone a little bit at the start of the season when anybody who could kick a ball probably could shine. But Yeah, I think he wasn't the right player to bring on. Possibly Danny Rose could have come on at that point. I don't know whether he sees him out wide or not, but I think he could have done a better job. No, he's still getting used to League One a little bit, and to bring him on against a team like that that are quite physical as well, I don't think it quite worked out for him. So I'd like to see if Miller doesn't, you know, if it looks like the end of the road for Miller, if it is, then will he get sent back or will we just wait? I'm not sure, because it just feels like another weight on our squad if he does stick around and then he doesn't get back to like mid-March, then it'll be a shame. So we'll see what happens. But definitely the wrong substitution, I thought, on Saturday.
Okay, well, we'll take another quick break now. Didn't know how to react. We'll take another quick break and we'll be back and we'll have a look at that Danny Rose goal again, shall we, after that.
Do you enjoy It's All Cobblers to Me? Do you want more Cobblers-related podcast content? And to feel all warm and fuzzy inside? Well, now you can! Sign up to support the podcast on Patreon. From as little as £2 per month, you'll receive access to additional content such as Q&As, meetups, a night of passion with Neil, merchandise, and bonus episodes. And you'll be supporting us to keep bringing you a weekly podcast about the biggest and best football team in the world of Northampton. Go to patreon.com/cobblers to me right now. One Night with Neil may not be passionate to the naked eye and may require years of counselling afterwards, for which we are not liable.
So, Danny, I want to come to you to this, right? Because obviously, before we talk about Danny Rose's amazing goal, there was a couple of incidents just before it involving your favourite player of all time. First of all, Sam Hoskins.
Oh, I thought Harry had come back for a minute.
Sam went down in the box. Penalty was requested by all the players, by the bench, even though Michael Appleton thought that for some reason none of our players appealed for it, even though quite clearly on the video you see every Cobblers player in frame with their hands in the air. Penalty for you or not?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought, on first glance and second glance, I know that it was probably one of those that sometimes get given, sometimes don't, but maybe I've got my claret tinted specs on a little bit, but actually I don't today. I've got my blue tinted specs on. No, I thought it was a penalty, but might be quite biased with that. And because it was Hoskins as well, obviously. Penalty, Charles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was one of those games, and I know we can say this every single time, and I'm not for 1 second blaming our defeat on the referee. In fact, I don't really blame the defeat on anyone. I think Lincoln were just the better team in the end, and more clinical than we were. But the referee wasn't exactly that good. And I think that maybe was highlighted a little bit by the fact that we had to listen to BBC Radio Lincolnshire's coverage, which was just...
Do you know,
people that moan about Tim Oglethorpe, imagine having to listen to that every single week. Crikey. I mean, Lincoln got the ball in their own penalty box once and it sounded like they'd just scored a goal.
Yeah, he was like properly excited whenever they crossed the halfway line, wasn't he? It's just, like, if you weren't watching the pictures, you would have thought they're in our 6-yard box, but they were just like...
I kept thinking, he's got nowhere to go now. Like, if they do get into our box and have a shot, he can't go any higher.
He peaked too soon. It was awful. And he didn't know the names of any of our players. He's just like, oh, the Northampton player kicks it that way.
No, you're being unkind to him. He knew Kean Bolger.
He did know Kean Bolger.
Former Lincoln player.
He just called them all Kean Bolger at some point, I think.
He was ridiculous, wasn't he? You're right, Danny. He was like, oh, no, it's a goal kick. And he's like, oh, hold on, mate. We're watching this, you know, we can see what's happening. It's not that exciting.
I just think the thing for me was that the commentary team, and look, they are there to serve Lincoln fans more than Cobblers fans. However, I've always thought that the commentary that we get through BBC Radio Northampton is always a little bit, sometimes I actually think sometimes it's a little bit too neutral. Tim, I think, is quite good, and he is at least 9 times out of 10, he knows who the opposition players' names are. He might not call it right every single time, but you know, at least he doesn't do some research beforehand and get to know who the players are that we're going to be facing. This was just so far the other way, and you must have known that there were going to be Cobblers fans listening to his commentary, because he knows full well that there's no BBC commentary on the iFollow. So that kind of wound me up a little bit. And there was a moment where I thought, oh, I'll just switch it off and I'll put the, I think was it just ground noise that you could have on the away commentary? But in the end, I just thought, no, I'll just leave it on there, because at least then I get to sort of, I don't know, if I'm not looking at it and he gets excited, I'll look up. Problem was that he got excited when they were in their own box, Lincoln. So there was me looking up constantly when there was no real need to.
I don't know who was the co-commentator. The co-commentator called us North Ants at one point.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Did it for me in maroon shorts.
Oh,
it's like being back on BT Sport again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was just BT Sport commentary. Yeah, it wasn't. I just thought that it was such an annoyance. But at the end of the day, they're not there really to serve us. And it was good to sort of see the match through the eyes of somebody that isn't a Cobblers supporter and has no interest in being a Cobblers supporter either. You know, there was all the bias was heavily the other way, which is fine up to a point. But I mean, Lloyd Jones's tackle where he got yellow carded, for instance, which at the time I just sort of went, that's nonsense. I don't understand how he's got a yellow card for it. Maybe I can see why he's given a free kick, but what's the yellow card for? And the Lincoln commentator is just going, yeah, you can't do that. Can't do that. He's gone in through the back of him. I was like, he hasn't. He definitely hasn't. And then the co-commentator said that he'd had his studs up. And again, he definitely didn't. And you just like that going, come on, what game are you watching? But then again, I know there's people that say that every single week about the Radio Northampton commentary as well, don't they? So I suppose it's just one of those where you can't win.
They called the penalty though, didn't they?
They said, didn't they? That it was very lucky that it hadn't been given.
And I think that's exactly what it was, Charles. It was just luck in the end. You know, it could have been given, at Six Fields. It could have been given if there was a crowd there at Six Fields, absolutely, because a crowd give things like that. And I
don't think you should be looking for luck. But
sometimes it is part of the game, isn't it? It is part of the game, you know.
I hate it.
No, so do I.
The referees aren't good enough in this country. And I'm going to go on a rant. The referee, we're playing a professional sport where we've got professional players and yet we've got semi-pro referees. Not good enough. And that's why they're not good enough, is because they're not professional.
Take it with Pete Walton, Charles.
Well, why? What's he going to do? He works in America.
Well, he's a former ref, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got no clout, has he, anymore?
I don't know. He's on BT occasionally.
Get him on.
So is Robbie Savage.
Get Walton on, Charles.
Get Walton on, yeah. Charles v. Walton.
I just don't think that if you look in the Premier League, they're all full-time. That's their job, is to be a referee. The people that we get, they've got a day job during the week. And, I'm not suggesting that they're not good at their day job or anything like that. But essentially, their refereeing is just a Saturday thing or a Tuesday night thing.
One of the referees years ago that was an EFL referee, it wasn't EFL back then, but he was actually from my hometown and used to drink with Sean. And one day he was a referee when we played Torquay. So that's how professional, I know that it's going back a few years now, but that's how professional, in inverted commas, it is or is not.
I just don't like the fact that you say that it's down to luck. I think that the referee gave that exact same foul in the middle of the pitch earlier on in the game. So why hasn't he given it in the box?
No, I totally agree. I'm saying is that on another day and another ref, we'd have got it. in that terms of luck, not in terms of we were unlucky not to get it. I think it was a Stonewall penalty, but in terms of the luck of which ref you get, which is wrong, of course, like you said, but I think that's, you know, that's what happens, isn't it?
It's much easier to give a foul in the middle of the pitch than it is in the penalty area, right? That's the problem.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Sam Hoskins tried to win the Puskas Award, didn't he, Danny?
Oh, should get it just for that, even if it didn't go in.
club captain Sam Hoskins.
Yeah.
Club captain Sam Hoskins.
Oh, imagine if that went in.
Well, imagine if that had gone in. Imagine if the penalty had been given. We could have at least got a draw out of the game in the end. I mean, look, the one thing that I will say is that even after we were 2-0 down, it didn't look like any of the players' heads went down. They kept on plugging away and then deservedly did get a goal. Now, okay, it's a bit of a fluke goal. I think Michael Appleton said in his post-match comments that, you know, you can't be disappointed at not keeping a clean sheet when you concede a goal like that. And I think that, coming out of Michael Appleton's face, is the closest to a thing to a compliment you're ever going to get.
Yeah,
and his team are still the second best in the league. So, I mean, yeah.
I would have liked it if it went in the top corner, Charles. I don't know why. The look of it feels different than when it goes in the bottom corner from an overhead kick. I'm not saying it's a bad goal because it was a great goal. Probably will win goal of the season, but going in the bottom corner doesn't have as much beauty as it goes in the top corner.
Scott McLean used to do it all the time, didn't he?
I'd like to add that I don't think anyone was talking about Ricky Holmes after the game on Saturday.
Neil. Interesting.
But there's still hope, isn't there, with Ricky, that he'll be given a contract?
You always said there's still hope with Richard then, just.
but like Southend have basically turned around and said that they're not going to offer him a contract. Other club really that was interested, according to, you know, the news.
When Southend don't offer you something, then that's troublesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's a worry, isn't it?
And Southend are offering Alan. And poor old Alan spends a lot of time on the bench or in the physio room.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Yeah. I take your point, Neil. Nobody was talking about Ricky.
No.
That's got to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Agreed. Can I also point out as well that Kean Bolger impressed me, which is unusual. So welcome, Kean Bolger.
I thought he had a good game. My question mark arises from the fact that he was playing against Lincoln.
Ah, I didn't think of that.
Former club, does he want to play? I'm not suggesting that he only had a good game because it was against former club, but we know that when you play your former team, you definitely want to get one over on them.
Oh, God,
a bit harder.
Played Carlisle. Do you remember when we played Carlisle? And we literally played like Barcelona.
Jeffy, that was like 3 years ago.
No, but that's when Keith Cole first came to us, wasn't it? And it was against his former team and he absolutely went hell for leather. Abandoned
and
Barcelona.
Bridge had a storming game where they got subbed for benched for the next game. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
I think Bolger's been getting better slowly but surely.
I think
that's an unfair accusation at him, Charles. You big ginger bully, you.
He does like to bully gingers.
He does.
I wonder where the ginger bit was from here, but you mean that I bully gingers?
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Bully. Right, okay, that's fine. Yeah. I'll take that every day.
You take that and party, my friend. You should have
said about Chris Evans the other day, Neil.
Oh, I can only imagine, yeah.
Hey, look, Chris Evans, we won't talk about that.
The big breakfast, however, it's all right. That's the big breakfast.
Chris Evans is still alright, as far as I know, Charles. You can still talk about him. It's fine.
Still alive?
Yeah, and also not been arrested.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, that's good. there was one other thing that happened on social media on Saturday.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk us through it, Neil?
I don't know what you're talking about, so no.
Well, it was your idea.
Was it?
You do know. Yes.
No, it was Danny's idea.
Oh, was it Danny's idea? Oh, Danny, I'm so sorry. That's my bullying nature coming back.
Yeah, that is.
I don't want to give anything to you.
It was Danny's idea. Let Danny take the glory. It was his idea.
Danny, take the glory. Take the glory.
Well, I think we're talking about GIFs on our WhatsApp group for some reason, how you can suddenly turn something into a GIF. So I said, oh, why don't we all make a goal GIF? And so we're going to make one each. I think two of us have made it so far. We're still waiting for Neil's and Jeffy's. So whenever we score a goal, we're going to stick one on the socials. And let's hope we win 4-0 at some point so you can see them all. Maybe Charles for the rest of the season.
my prop for mine arrived today, so I will report mine tomorrow.
Oh, just in time for the Fleetwood game. Oh,
I'm
yes.
Concerned when Neil says he's got a prop.
In fairness, I think we should all be concerned, yes.
It's something I can wear, don't worry.
I'm quite concerned about the fact
that doesn't make it any easier.
Very good point, Wilma.
Sorry, Jesse, go on.
All right, I'm just quite concerned that I went to find my prop. I couldn't find it anywhere in my hometown, which when you see my GIF, you'll understand that that's really quite odd not to find said thing in my hometown. And I don't know why, of all the weekends, I couldn't find it.
It's in Southend. You got to go.
Not allowed to travel, see?
That's it.
That's true, yeah. Only essential journeys.
I mean, we could class that as essential. We're not going to, just for clarification, podcast listeners, we're not going to. We're law-abiding citizens on this podcast.
Well, look, I just want to kind of move on a little bit now. I mean, there are still, a week or so left of the transfer window. I know that a lot will probably depend on whether Mikel Miller's injury is very serious or not. Is Cobbler's career ending, as we've said several times now? I hope it's not, by the way. He looked a really good prospect. Can you see any more movement coming in and out over this next transfer, week that we've got left of it, Neil?
Yes, I can, Charles.
And anything that you actually think might happen? Have you heard any rumours on any grapevines?
I haven't accessed any grapevines recently. Yeah. I've been a busy boy. However, just purely going by Keith Curl's interview, he did say we're still looking, we're still in discussions with a few clubs. So I'd take that as, why would he lie? Wouldn't surprise me if we're still after a striker.
If you say Jabor Abiri, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me if we're still after a striker of some sort and a right wing back.
I think. I think a lot of the defensive decisions are going to depend on the fitness of Alan Sheehan.
Yeah, I mean, this is it, isn't it? There is that thing now of going, he's missed, is it 3 games now? And there's been quite a lot of space in between those games. So you would kind of hope that he would have been fit already. But then there's also the argument of maybe Curl was going, and I know Neil hates this, but maybe again, it was that thing of going, well, we're not likely to win at Lincoln. We stand a better chance of winning against Fleetwood, so therefore we won't play Sheehan on that game. We'll play him and make sure that he's fit enough to play in the game that's that little bit more important.
I wonder whether it's something to do with that I'm going to call it the Ricky Holmes effect. Hear me out. In terms of I personally as a manager, and I don't think Keith Curl either, would play Ricky Holmes in such an intense and physical match as Lincoln. And not necessarily on the lines of the fact that you don't think you're going to win it, more so that you want to protect your players and chucking them in first game back against Lincoln when it's going to be really intense and really physical and really fast. It's probably not the right thing to do.
Yeah, I can sort of see where that is. I'm with you, Neil, in that I'd like to see us get somebody for right wing back, because I'll be honest, the one player, and I'm sorry, Danny, but the one player that I just kept thinking to myself, it's time for somebody to challenge him, was Sam Hoskins. The amount of times that he took players on and lost the ball was infuriating for me.
He's now, mediocre, is what he is.
I know that it's that thing of going, look, if he was as good as we really want him to be, then he'd be playing higher up in the football pyramid. But he really did infuriate me on Saturday, I have to say.
It's not a right wing back, though, is he?
No, he's not. That's exactly it. But he's being played there. No, and not, that seems to be his position at the moment.
He wasn't playing there on Saturday, though.
Oh, okay. Well, no, he wasn't on Saturday.
Neil had a good game.
I think 300th appearance.
There's two different things, I think. There's right back and there's Sam Hoskins. I think the right back definitely needs to be looked at. We need to sign somebody a little bit more mobile, I think, in terms of a right back that can get up and down a little bit. Hoskins, I probably agree with you as well. He'd be decent to bring on. Probably need a little bit more quality there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on the Sam Hoskins thing. I think he, look, in terms of pace, he brings a lot to the team because we do lack a bit of pace throughout the team. I do think we could probably do with an upgrade on him, though. Still keep him in the squad. He's still an important squad player. I do think he's not quite good enough. He had that purple patch, didn't he, where he was starting to, what's the word, I guess, have a bit of an end product. Didn't really last that long. And I'm not sure what he contributes. And that's a weird thing to say, but I just don't know what he actually contributes. I mean, he's brought a long throw into his locker now, hasn't he, as well? So it's like he's trying to forge a niche market for himself somewhere. Say, look, I'm the only one that could do this. I don't know. Yeah, so I think I agree with you, Charles. I think we need to upgrade Sam Hoskins, and also with you, Danny. I think right back is another area where we could do with an upgrade.
I think it's about, you know, if Keith Curl's going to talk about evolving and evolution, then you've got to always be looking to improve what you've got. And for me, the one player that he's never really looked to try and improve, upgrade, get an upgraded version of, is Sam Hoskins.
He does seem to get shoehorned in, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it's
odd. Because look, he's not, by all accounts, look, he's not a world beater or anything like that. He's not, in my view, he's not a, you don't look at the squad and think, right, a must start. He's definitely Sam Hoskins. He's a must start, no matter what, his first name on the team sheet, no matter what. I get what he brings in terms of athleticism, getting up and down the pitch. He listens to instructions, so I get that side of things. In terms of actual quality, I think we could do better.
Do you know what's a real shame, actually? You are going to laugh, but the longest suspension in the world, because what we didn't see and what we didn't get the opportunity to see, that would have been a free match ban. Oh, no, it was a one match ban, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, okay? We haven't really seen, because he has, thankfully for him, not been injured, we haven't seen a game without Sam Hoskins or a continuous run of games without Sam Hoskins to compare. It's a bit like the Harry Smith effect earlier. We haven't seen whether it's going to be effective with different strikers up front and whether we're less one-dimensional. Equally, we haven't seen Sam Hoskins out of the team to see if we can get any better. I think until you do that, you don't know.
Yeah, I completely agree with you and completely get your point in that it's a run of games that we're talking about. But on the flip side, you could argue that the one game that he didn't play, we were terrible and lost 2-0 to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Valid.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be about attitude with Sam Hoskins. That's the thing I think Keith Curl sees in him, is his attitude every game. You can't deny him that every game he goes out and his attitude's completely top. Like, you don't really see him shirk it ever.
He's a great servant. Whether the quality's there or not,
he shirk it. He gives it everything all he can. And I think it's just going up to the next level in terms of becoming a mid-table-ish League One side is probably where the quality needs to come in. But, you know,
it's infuriating for me in that I just want him to be able to take on a player and not lose it, or to make the right decision and to, rather than take the player on, to pass it and to be able to get a cross in. It's just that end product bit. I would just love it if he was just better. And it's that's the only thing that gets me. I really do like him and I get why he's in the team. I just wish he was a bit better than he is. And I'm sure he probably feels that way as well. I'm sure that there's times when he just goes, oh, you know, why didn't I take that player on? Or why didn't I just see the pass or get the cross in, or what, you know, whatever it is. Why did I have to hit the post? Why couldn't it have gone into the top corner? That, you know, I'm sure he probably does look back on it and think exactly the same thing. But, you know, there we go. Anyway.
That's the thing as well, isn't it? If that goes into the top corner on Saturday, are we even having this discussion? There's little margins, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is that. I mean, I just remember it was one of the things that I kept thinking throughout even the first half on Saturday was just that thing of being like, oh, I just wish he was a bit better. It felt like we'd got the upgrades on the other side of the pitch. Okay, we need to see a bit more of Edmondson, I think. I don't think I agree with what you said earlier, Neil, in that we didn't really see an awful lot from him. But Uncle Brim was fantastic and Mikel Miller was you know, clearly an upgrade on what we'd had before. I just kind of wanted the same to have happened on the other side of the pitch as well.
And if you think about it, we've upgraded, or we've at least attempted to upgrade every other position, really, haven't we? With, you know, Sowerby in the middle with Uncle Bryn.
Yeah.
Edmondson now up front. Miller, the defence, debatable. I mean, some of that was a necessity more than anything, wasn't it? But Lloyd-Jones has since come in. Sheehan came in. So we've sort of upgraded the upgrades. Joseph Mills. And sort of Sam Hoskins has just been left.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? And I'm sure that there's also the question, isn't there, over Danny Rose? I mean, we've not even touched on the fact of what has he got to do to start a game and to get a decent run in the side. But maybe we'll see him starting on Tuesday against Fleetwood. I certainly wouldn't like to be Keith Curl making that decision on Tuesday afternoon after the goal that Danny Rose has scored on Saturday. But anyway, thanks very much, guys. Thank you for joining me as always. And thank you for listening to us bang on about the Cobblers. If you hit the subscribe button, wherever it is that you're listening, and whatever podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever it is, then you hit that button, then it'll mean that you'll never miss an episode. You'll find more content at cobblerstome.com, and we'll be back on Friday with the preview show, looking ahead to, I don't even know what game it is, because I've been thinking about Fleetwood so much. Anybody know?
Wigan, Charles.
Wigan.
6 points of that.
It is a 6 point.
It really is a 6 point.
It's going to be a ding-dong.
Yeah. Humdinger.
Well, look, join us on Friday for the preview show, and then on Tuesday for a roundup of that match and anything else that happens Cobblers-wise. If you'd like to join in on the Slack channel that we've mentioned a few times in this podcast, then all you need to do is go to patreon.com/cobblers2me and join up and support the podcast while you're doing it. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
The cup, there's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division One. Bring them on, because we deserve it.
And we'll be back on Friday with the preview show, looking ahead to, I don't even know what game it is, because I've been thinking about Fleetwood so much. Anybody know?
Statman Danny will know.
Well, I know, son. He's talking about Saturday.
We'll be back on Friday, looking ahead to a match.
Wigan, Charles.
Wigan. Charles
Wigwam. Wigwam.
6 points of that.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin, and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.